Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Good morning, everyone. Anybody has any cell phones or any other devices, if you'd probably please silence them now. And then if you'll stand and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number 4, discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for this date, November the 1st, 2016. Do we have any changes?
No changes, Mr. Chairman.
No changes today? Do we have public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, we get a motion for approval.
Move to approve the agenda for November 1st, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for October the 4th, 2016. Is there public comment regarding the minutes for October the 4th? Hearing none, can I get a motion for approval?
I'll move to approve the minutes for October 4th, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
Yes. We move in second to approve the minutes of October the 4th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye, motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 6. This is the consent agenda for today. So there's public comment regarding today's consent agenda. Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving along now to item number 7. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. And representing the Sheriff's Department today, Mr. Dosen. Okay. Over in our planning department, Jason Van Habel, you have any questions today?
Nothing from the planning commission.
Sherry Nevin, welcome back from New York. You have any reports?
Nothing today.
How about some pictures? Okay, how about Director of Security? Ms. Peter?
Thank you. I don't think we have a clock.
Community development?
Oh, one more.
Don't need any more.
I just want to report a couple of things. We had a couple of closures on property on two projects that are going to bring some hotels to Story County. I have been contacted by one of the developers right now, and we're going to start working on their plans and everything else. Okay. Both of the projects will bring many rooms to Story County, and they want to fast track and try to have them up in about 8 months is what I've been told. So that's good. The other thing is we're going to TCO portions of Switch this Thursday or Friday. We did inspections and walkthroughs, and they're going to clean up a few things, and so we'll be opening up part of their building for offices, security, and some of their server farms. Racks are ready to go. So they'll be starting with that. Did you want to comment, Pat?
No.
Okay. Also, we'll be giving a TCO today to for the Shell for Aqua Metals. We did a startup on Saturday. They will do an announcement that they did do their first startup on making what they call soft lead. And so that will be getting a TCO today on their building. We'll be giving a TCO on a big expansion at Golden Gate Petroleum. today also. We had a small fire out there a couple of weeks ago. They've had to do a lot of things, corrections and everything else, and we'll be giving a TCO with that. We gave a TCO today to DR Can. That's the can manufacturer in the Panasonic Tesla facility that makes the can where their batteries fit in, and they their machine, and it's kind of like the can plant, but they're in operation now too. So, and we're going to give a couple of more TCOs to Panasonic Tesla. We're walking their building and opening up the equipment daily. So that's what we're working on. We're also working on the nuisances, and we're also working on Chinatown, trying to straighten that out with the district attorney's office and those folks down there. We'll have a full report to those owners, what they need to do to comply with ordinances from zoning to building codes for Chinatown. We're also backtracking and trying to find back in the 70s where the county commissioners, there was a red tag put on it because it was improperly, wasn't permitted or anything back then or approved. So we're working on that. Any questions?
Does it go back that far? Is it the 80s? Because that was Ben Hathaway's project that he brought to town.
Yeah, and that's where we're trying to go back in the old county commissioners minutes to see what happened back in there. But we're taking the current zoning and just going to enforce what needs to be there under a single-family dwelling as it is currently zoned now.
Okay.
Has Aqua Metals finally poured anything in their molds or compressed anything in their molds yet?
They did what they call a little pucket. So they ran it through their machines up top, went through and went into a little pucket. They haven't put it into the big mold yet. So they created their puck that they needed to, and that happened on Saturday. So the operation of bringing it all, we're still working with them, and so we still have a lot of work to go. They want to be in full operation by the end of November, somewhere in December. Okay?
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Dean. Okay, our new director at the Story County Senior Center, Stacy Gilbert, do you have something for us today?
It's short and sweet. So last Thursday we had a Halloween party. It included cupcake and pumpkin decorating. The seniors enjoyed it, and a costume contest. I had high positive feedback and a good turnout. Thank you, Jack, for the pumpkin pies. They were in love with them. Didn't eat my cupcakes for that. So, in November, we're going to start having bingo. It starts this Friday after lunch at 1:30, and we'll continue every other week on Fridays. We're also having a Thanksgiving feast, which I welcome you guys to join us. It's on Wednesday, November 23rd. And in December, we are having a craft sale, bake sale, Saturday, December 3rd, before the Parade of Lights, 10 to 4. And we will also be roasting chestnuts in front of Mark Twain. So, it's coming along.
Great. Any questions for Stacey? No? Great. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you,
Stacey.
Public Works Department, Mike Nevin.
We've got
a new one now. Dean took all my time. Gallagher said we had 3 minutes between us, but anyway. Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Nevin, for the record, Public Works Director. Just a couple of updates on some projects we've been dealing with. First, the Virginia City Wastewater Improvement Project. We're working now with Far West, and we hope to get legal review in the next couple of days to go over some possibly clouded issues with some easements. I feel most of them are in prescriptive right-of-ways where existing utilities already are, so I think, you know, we're going to be fine, but we just need some advice from the legal side of the house, so we'll be reaching out to Keith to help us out there.
We've been working on that.
Great. Thanks, Ann. The Cape Seal project has been completed. There was a little bit of work on some of the shoulders that needed to be redone, and the contractor will get on those if they haven't already done so. I haven't had a chance to drive the canyon and see if those were completed before this last storm. I kind of doubt it, but they've been just excellent to work with, so I know we're not going to have an issue. The park project, we hope to finish up this week. We're supposed to take delivery today of the barrier wall, the plastic barrier wall that holds the playground chip in place down there, and the little ADA access ramp into the playground area from the bathroom side of the park down there. And then once, hopefully, the weather's going to improve, according to the weatherman, Mr. Curtis, and he's not here. But we hope to finish that up by the end of the week. And then next week, weather permitting, we're going to jump on the gazebo jack out in the Virginia City Highlands Park. So that's kind of where we are. And then just seeing what happens, prepared for winter, of course. So that's it.
Wow.
Pretty sweet and to the point today.
Wow.
Unless you guys have a question.
Yeah. No way. No.
Thank you, Mike.
We have Scott Jolkover in the audience today. Are you here to represent the VCTC by chance, or Comstock Mining?
I'm here to observe county government.
Thank you very much. Okay, over to the planning department, senior planner and HR director, Ms. Roswell.
He's going to pass something to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just two items today, just to give you and the public a update on the parking lot next door. As you see, Peak Construction has been really moving fast over there. They are absolutely wonderful to work with. They know their stuff. They get it done. They'll come and ask some questions, and they're cooperative and very competent in what they're doing. You see the riprap along the west and the south slope is near complete. And what they're doing, actually, they're going to put a tow wall, kind of a block wall at the bottom of that, and they'll put the riprap in first, and they'll remove all that extra dirt and put in that block wall to hold everything in place. And after that, they'll start beginning a lot of utilities digging and putting in drainage systems and things like that. Then they'll start working on the pavement, and there's a landscaping company also that's working with me on a daily basis on choosing species of trees and configurations and things like that over there to make some nice street frontage along B Street. It'll look like a very nice project when it's done. So everything is moving on track, and they are still slated to be on time in their 90-day building period. And then secondly, and certainly not least important, is I would like to congratulate Jason Van Havel. He is now our interim appointee, Public Works Director. And as Mike starts to fade off into the sunset, and he will teach Jason everything he knows in 2 months' time. And I'm looking forward to working with Jason in his new capacity. And it's sad to see him go from planning, but I congratulate him. So congratulations. And those are my two. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Any questions for Austin? Very good. Okay, over to our comptroller's office. Mr. Gallagher?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. District Attorney Langer?
The MMR&D lawsuit has been dismissed. The medical marijuana lawsuit has been dismissed against Story County this week. So just wanted to give you an update on that.
Very good. Great. That's good news. Thank you. Mm-hmm. County Manager Whitten?
A couple of dates to calendar. One is November 10th. We will be having a special commission meeting that's purpose to canvass the vote. We may have one or two other items on there because this will be our only other meeting in November, the November 15th.
Okay.
The date is the meeting will not be held as many of us will be down in Corona for Nevada NACO. Austin's mention of the parking lot. Reminded me that I have agreed to enter into a short-term 3-month lease with Kim Neal. Kim owns the paved section of the lot to the north of us. So I'll be working collaboratively with the folks at the Corner Bar and Piper's Opera House to make sure that that space stays available, preferably for employee parking,
on a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and then we really don't care what happens. But the terms are three-month lease, which should give us about 8 space relief on the parking issues over here as we go through those cycles. We're going to do a kind of a, in conjunction with voting on Tuesday, we're going to be doing a fairly significant reservation of the existing parking lot for voters. And I have my fingers crossed, although this will be my last item, to discuss that hopefully the lift truck might be done by then. So that segues into the painting project for the courthouse. I would say we're probably about 80% done, and now only weather dependent. There was an awful lot of restoring work that needed to be done, and again, we were fortunate to be connected through Pete Dubay, our architect, with a great company, Central Sierra Construction, who is giving, who gave the facility a lot of TLC. There's still 4 items. They're called pineapples. They're down at their shop in Minden being restored carefully. But when they're at this stage, judging from how Piper's went with Radcliffe painting, all they're waiting for now is a spell of good weather, hopefully maybe beginning this afternoon and continuing for the next couple of days. And I would anticipate they should be done and out of here, which will give us, again, maybe about 8 more spaces along the front of the courthouse parallel parked on B Street.
It should be adequate for voting, because when we had it at the fire department on Main Street, there was less parking there than there is here, so
right.
It should be adequate. Jack, he'd mentioned that we're going to have a special meeting on November the 10th to canvass the votes, and then and by then there might be a couple of other items added to the agenda.
Right. I couldn't hear it. Somebody right. was hopping right when he was started. I know I had got on the calendar right. November 10th.
Yeah, because the second regularly scheduled meeting has been canceled for November. Has right. been customary because of the holiday
and
season.
And that's at noon?
That's yes.
Yes.
Okay. And unless I hear different from any of the commissioners, we probably would cancel the second meeting in December as well. That's kind of our tradition.
Okay.
Jason wants to be called on too.
Okay. Jason and Hagel.
Thank you, Austin, for mentioning my new position. I want to thank Mike Nevin for his many years of fantastic service to the county, and I've got some fairly big shoes to fill. But I'm looking forward to several terrific years that I'll be able to do that. And in light of that, there's a brief statement that I'd like to prepare a statement that I'd like to read. Just thank you.
All of that? Nice prop.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Jason. Yes. Congratulations, Jason.
I didn't set it up. I didn't bring my pocket. He's laughing.
Okay.
That's fine.
Last but not least, Vanessa Stevens from the clerk's office.
Oh, wow.
I know.
This is it. First.
I just wanted to give an update on voting. As of last night, we have 32% turnout in Story County. So that's with early voting, absentee, and mail-ins that have come back. So we are trucking right along. Early voting will keep going on this week through Friday. We're here from 8 to 6. And then Election Day will be next Tuesday.
Wow.
That's great.
And for those that missed it, our clerk was a star on the Las Vegas Review paper regarding voting in the courthouse slammer.
That's right. So. Great interview, really? Vanessa. That concludes committee and staff reports. Next on, we'll move over to item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take no action on our public comment. Commissioner McGuffey, do you want to start off first?
Yeah. First of all, with Mr. Dotz is not here today, there's an announcement that Nevada Tourism Board has now got an office in China. And you can count on them coming. Virginia City is one of the top destinations as far as Nevada is concerned, too. And so we can count on Chinese starting to visit Nevada soon. And when they come to Virginia City, there's a great history with the Chinese helping build the Comstock. And so we just had a meeting with the Fourth Ward board last week, and I talked to Laura Mather, who is basically in charge of our Courthouse Slammer Museum, and so she's going to try to put something together that's kind of focused just on the history of the Chinese on the Comstock. So I'm kind of looking forward to doing that, and if there's anybody out there that has anything that they could donate or some information for Laura, please contact her. Coming back from eastern Nevada this weekend, came through Silver Springs on 50, and you can see that the USA Parkway, they've got it graded all the way to Opal. They haven't done anything to Opal, but you can see the roads is cut, just dirt, but it's cut to Opal. So they're making good progress out there. And then coming up 6 Mile Canyon, it was beautiful. The slurry seal job and the striping and everything, it looks like brand new. It's a great job on that. But what really highlighted it was the autumn colors coming up through the canyon. There's about three or four trees in there that are just fluorescent. So I recommend to anybody to just take a quick drive down there. It's a beautiful ride. Okay. Then last at least is for some a member of the local Fraternal Order of Eagles here, and we were able to take advantage of the painting crew, Radcliffe Painting, that's taking care of, they did Viper's Opera House, now they're working on the courthouse, and they just, as of this morning, completed the Miners Union Hall just down the street from Viper's, and it looks good. So these streets starting to shape up. Thank you. And that's it.
Great. Thanks, Jack. Mr. Gilman?
Nothing new today, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, hope everyone had a fun Halloween yesterday, trick-or-treating. And, of course, the celebration of Nevada Day this year went off extremely well. We had a nice contention of Story County elected officials and staff that attended the parade and the festivities that ensued down there between the parade site and the Old Globe Saloon and Allison McKenzie law offices that put on their regular shindig down there. So that was a lot of fun. Just prior to the beginning, the start of this meeting, I had some guests that stopped in. Their names were John and Lulu Ohm. And they were friends of the late Cal and Mae Broman, who lived here on the Comstock for many years. Cal Broman was a famed Western artist in oil paintings, and so he had a studio set up in the house down on B Street where Jim Collins lives today, and his art is all over the world. And as a matter of fact, I'm fortunate enough to have a few of the originals in my business and in my residence. So he stopped by and made a couple of donations as part of this meeting, because he and his parents were friends of the Bromans, and the Ohms are Reno residents. So here I'm going to show you a portrait. This is May and Cal here. Anybody who's been around the Comstock for a while would recognize them. And they were big supporters of organizations on the Comstock. The Jeep Posse was a big benefactor of Cal. He used to donate a painting every year for the raffle that they would have at their annual Jeep Posse dinner. They also contributed to the Story County Volunteer Fire Department and the Parent Teacher Association and anything else that had to do with Virginia City and the Comstock float. So this was a great couple that lived here. And so this couple, the Ohms, who have donated four of these pictures that belong to Cal and May. And so one of them is going to go to the Jeep Posse. One's going to go to the fire department. One's going to go to St. Paul's Episcopal Church that they can either keep or auction off, because that building is in need of much repair, and so that might be a fundraising avenue for them as well. And then one other painting that's undecided on where it's going to go yet. So I just want to give a shout out to the Ohms from Reno for making this nice contribution to the entities here on the Comstock. So that's all I have on that. We'll move on now to item number 9. This is discussion and possible action. This is review and possible approval of the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center audit of the project revenue and net revenue for the TRI public-private partnership for the year ending June 30th, 2015. Mr. Gallagher, if you'll...
Mr. Chairman, in an abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from a vote on this particular action and discussion. So I will leave and join the audience over there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have an audit every year conducted by Cohn & Company and its principal, Connie Christensen, who is here to answer any questions you may have. This year, the projected net revenue is approximately $2,486,000, of which $870,148 is due and payable to our public-private partner. We will say that that of all total, not including this year's, we paid out a total of about $4.6 million. We have about $5.8 million in reserve. So, again, through the special revenue fund that we have created to take care of any current and future payments to our public-private partner, we're in pretty good shape with this. So with that, I will present Connie Christensen, and if anybody has any comments or questions for Connie.
Hello, I'm Connie Christensen with Cohn & Company, CPAs, and we conducted the audit. It was an unmodified opinion, and I'm happy to entertain any questions that you may have.
Just want to clarify.
Connie, I know each year for at least the last 3 years, we've made an advance on funds due, potentially just an internal, you know, system that we go through for property tax payments.
Right.
This audit, the $870,000, does not reflect that advance. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Because it happened subsequent to.
So the amount that Mr. Gallagher references actually will be substantially less, actually, as an impact to that fund, because we've already advanced for this year's property tax.
In fact, as of September 30th of this year, the ending fund balance in the Troy payback account is about $2.4 million.
And I might add that, you know, staff and council through Mr. Loomis are in negotiations with TRI, exclusive of Mr. Gilman, but with Chris and with Bob Sater and others, a financial analyst has identified three areas of potential revenue that we historically have not taken into consideration for this type of purpose to calculate that net amount due, and we're going now through validating each of the methodologies and obtaining information from like NV Energy and others that we need to be able to agree upon, and then we'll present it to the commission for potential approval and modification to our stipulation agreement that we have. So I anticipate that hopefully it could be done maybe within 30 days, if not shortly after the first of the year.
Okay, so why don't we open this up for any public comment, and that way there could be some questions that could arise out of that. So, at this time, is there any public comment regarding this?
Nicole?
Ms. Bard?
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Pat, this is probably related to what you just said, and I just need a little bit of help to understand what it means. but in the letter sent to the commissioners dated June, actually, it has a section in here on management consultations with other independent accountants. Is that what you were referring to in what you just said?
Probably not on this one. These are...
No, that's a standard comment regarding if other accountants have consulted with us.
Okay, but so this is... It says Tahoe Reno Industrial hired a consultant to evaluate other county revenue sources to determine if amounts could be allocated to the project.
That does speak to that. Yes.
Okay, so simplistically, what other sources might those be? How does it impact?
Specifically, there are portions of the motor vehicle fuel tax that we currently get.
Yeah.
Portions of centrally assessed. Which is basically a tax in lieu of payment on utility companies that we currently get, and utility fees, the 1% and the 1% electric and gas franchise tax fees that are imposed on businesses that are out in Toronto.
Okay, so is it that those are revenues that we, the county, are getting that have not been included in the total revenues that we're marking for TRI, then from which we determine how much we pay back?
That is correct,
okay,
because
so
we have been able to ascertain what sections are attributed
thing.
To TRI versus
okay,
non.
All right, thank you.
All right, any other public comment? Commissioner McGuffey, do you have any comments on this?
No.
Any follow-up on this?
No, we've already commissioned 15-16, to get it off. But, again, there could be some adjustments based on the negotiations and your potential approval, but the process has already begun. And Connie's always a joy to work with.
Yeah. Okay. With that said, then, Commissioner McGuffey, I'm going to look to you for a motion to approve this.
I, Jack McGuffey, hereby approve the audit of project revenue in the amount of $4,878,208 and net revenue of $2,486,137, representing the TRI public-private partnership for the year ended June 30th, 2015.
Okay. I'll second your motion. So it's been moved and seconded to approve this audit. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The clerk will note that Commissioner Gilman is saying. Thank you, Connie, for coming up today. All right. Next up is item number 10. This is discussion and possible action. Notice of intent to file a loan/grant application with the USDA Rural Development Utilities Programs for the purpose of financing the Virginia City waterline projects to meet the present and future needs of the Virginia City water system demands for the Virginia City Gold Hill communities.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner McBride. Sherry Nevin for the record. We're coming to you to notify you that we have filed an application with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development Program for a loan and grant application for the waterline projects here in Virginia City and Gold Hill. The current rate on their loans is 1.875%, slightly higher than our sewer project. With a sewer, we're able to get a poverty rate because it's sewer and sanitary. This is still a fantastic rate. This will be good through the end of the year. We've been working with USDA, and, of course, they're encouraging us to get our application in. This is not saying that we're going to get the loan and grant, but at least we're going to have an application in. So with this today, it will allow us to file this application. And then since timing-wise, we're only going to have one more meeting this month, which is kind of a special meeting, and then one in December, we've put in here for your recommended motion authorization for the chairman of the board to sign the obligating documents for a loan not to exceed $2.5 million. That does not include any grant funds that we may get on this project, which we will most certainly get some grant funds.
Right.
Anyone has any questions for us? I've got Danny Summers from Far West Engineering here. Any technical type questions?
Would you explain why, what this money is needed for?
Sure. Yeah. We've got a couple different phases on this project. You want me to talk on, Danny?
Sure.
Limited. Okay. Phase one will replace two existing water storage tanks. And then it'll also include 4,600 linear feet of 8-inch water main on B Street and 1,500 linear feet of 10-inch main on Union Street. Phase two will replace approximately 14,000 linear feet of existing transmission main between the 5-mile reservoir and a location 1.3 miles west of the water treatment plant.
And why are we replacing two water tanks with one water tank? Is there a problem with the other water tank?
I'll address that. Yeah, when these tanks were originally put in, they actually do not have sufficient storage to meet current fire flow for Virginia City and Gold Hill. So in order to meet fire flow minimum requirement, it requires that those tanks be replaced with at least a million-gallon tank. And the footprint of the site up there is conducive to eliminating the two smaller tanks and building one larger tank. All of these projects have been identified prior in the water system capital improvement program. Last update was in 2011, so they're all in there. Hopefully that answers your question relative to that tank, Commissioner McGuffey.
Would you be able to sell them, or are they going to be just...
They've served their useful life, especially the smaller one up there. We call it Hillside. That smaller tank is vintage probably 1940s.
Oh, really?
And it's in real bad shape, actually. We're kind of bubble gumming it together, if you will, unfortunately. So this project is pretty important for that aspect. We just cross our fingers that we don't have a rupture in that thing. We've had some leaks external, and we just deal with them when we need to. So getting that thing replaced. And then the other tanks were originally put up there back in the early 1980s through a partnership that they had at the time with Houston Oil and Minerals. They bought a couple of tanks. Scott Joel Colbert, I think you were around then, Scott, and probably recalls, you know, there were some trade-offs with the special use for the mining that took place in Gold Hill. So.
What's the time frame for this to be done?
What's that, Marsh?
What's the time frame?
Well, depending on the loan grant process, you know, we wanted to get this application in, as Sherry mentioned, before the end of the year so we can take advantage of that locked-in loan rate. It actually dropped. It was like 2.23-something, and it dropped this month to the 1.875, which is pretty decent.
Yeah.
Right now, like on the water treatment plant, I think we're paying, and Hugh, he left, but I think we're paying about 4.66% or something on that loan through USDA. So, you know, timing is of essence here. Like Sherry said, not that, you know, we're guaranteed to get the loan or grant, but at least we got our application in, so we fall under the existing medium household income requirements as well, because the new census data takes into effect in January, so then everything will be based on that new medium household income, which is much higher, so our loan rate, of course, will be adjusted upward probably, even if we were able to apply. So, you know. And we're working, have been, with USDA, BLM, SHPO, private property owners, specifically on the transmission line from 5 Mile into Virginia City, and think that Broadbent submitted their final report to SHPO here about a week ago. So they had some concerns that needed to be addressed. So we're, you know, we're tracking it as quickly as we can, taking into consideration the red tape that's involved with some of these projects because you're using right. federal funding. So.
Sherry, do you have any idea about how much you could probably generate in grant money for this?
We're not sure at this time. It will not be as much grant money as we have on the sewer project. It's just because this is not doesn't meet a criteria for sanitary sewer. It's like a safety with the sewer side. But, you know, we should do well. I think we could get up to 45%.
Thank you.
One of the things, too, relative to the grant portion of it, if Congress, and I don't know where that bill is, it's relative to the Flint, Michigan issue and the lead in drinking water across the country, and there should be a pretty significant pot of money that will be available for some of these sort of projects because that pipeline is vintage 1887, and it was a third pipeline that was actually dismantled, brought over to transport raw water from the reservoir, replacing the wooden plumes, and it, of course, is the lead lock joints on that pipe, so we may have a real strong chance of using that argument for some grant funding.
Yeah. Okay. Any public comment on this? I don't have any questions on this. Any more questions on this? It's a great weight. I mean, I wish we could borrow money like that, Lance.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Can I get a motion to go ahead and approve this grant application?
I move to approve the filing of an application with USDA Rural Development Utilities Programs for the purpose of financing the Virginia City Waterline Projects to meet the present and future needs of the Virginia City Water System and the demands for the Virginia City Gold Hill communities, and upon USDA RD providing a final loan grant funding package to authorize the chairman of the board to sign the obligating documents for a loan not to exceed $2.5 million.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second to approve this loan grant application. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you. Can you come up to this? Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of modification and extension of collective bargaining agreement between Story County as the employer and the Story County Employees Association, ASCME, Local 4041, Comstock Chapter, Union in parentheses. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I imagine you can hear me fine. I'm going to speak from here. I have a lot of materials that go along with this and field any questions that you may have. I'll start with, first I want to do is, Toby Whitten here is in the audience, and she's the Comstock Chapter President of the Union, and I want to thank her and her team for working with us through this entire process. We are at the end of October, actually the beginning of November, looking at this contract, and we started it in February, and a lot of the footwork actually began around this time last year, where even beginning up to the bargaining process. And I want to thank her through the entire process of working with us and using a comm head and doing analyses with us and trying to do something that's right, both for the employer and for the employees. And so, up to this point, I'm going to give just a little bit of a general discussion of what this bargaining agreement has and where it is, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have afterward. Generally, as far as the structure goes, most of this contract was cleanup, NRS alignment, and addressing other language. There's much more comprehensive definitions in this contract. There's a much better discussion of how you administer the benefits and the limitations in the contract. And there's better alignment with the Nevada revised statutes, both under 288 for collective bargaining in general, as well as how other benefits are administered. Management's rights were addressed substantially in this contract, giving management more authority not only to exercise management's rights listed under NRS 288, but
but also the ability to use flexibility and discipline and flexibility and performance measurements for employees to try to create a more efficient and effective organization. And then also in a way to really reward those workers in our county who work harder and are dedicated to what they do. And then probably I would say a very good portion of the bargaining process really dealt with the tailoring of certain needs to the Communications 911 Dispatcher Series as well as the Tourism Commission Series employees, both of those being 24-hour, 7-day operations. The original contract, or the one we're under currently right now, really didn't address particular needs for those folks, and the new one does. Another thing that this contract does is comply with NRS in creating a units for supervisory and non-supervisory employees that complies with NRS. The salaries and the benefits components of this contract, I'll start with salaries. Really, there were no cross-the-board increases. There were no cross-the-board COLA changes, cost of living increase, for example, increases in this contract. Most of the work really was, again, is cleaning up language for certain benefits like shift differentials and things like that. And a lot of the language had to do with tailoring each position specifically on a case-by-case basis to align it with the market rate of what's occurring in Reno, Sparks, Washoe, Carson, Douglas, Churchill, and Lyon County, and to a lesser extent, Elko and some other counties. And really the purpose of that is we're competing with these counties for employees. We're competing to be at a market rate with them and be competitive and being able to attract and retain highly qualified employees for all of our different departments. And some of that market rate adjustment occurred as a result of the Pontifex study that was done with a consulting group to determine where positions need to be paid, as well as on a case-by-case analysis between the union and our team. Some of the positions, as you see in the contract, went up in pay, and some of the positions you'll see in the contract went down in pay. The other ones really dealt with shift differentials, mainly for the communication series for the 911 dispatchers. And a shift differential means just special pay that occurs for graveyard shift and swing shift. And the purpose of that really is to incentivize people to work in certain non-desirable times of the day in effort to reduce overtime for having to call in people for those hours. Holidays really didn't change a lot, but there was some minor adjustments for communications and BCTC employees on addressing holidays off when you have people working in a 24/7 operation. And then as far as the non-salary benefits, the fringe, the health benefits mainly remain the same. For example, any employer hired off here after July 1st, 2014, we only provide health benefits insurance for that employee, not for the dependents, and that exists in all three of our contracts, and that has been a massive savings to the county. The other changes in health benefits really had to do with aligning with the Affordable Care Act, such as requiring an employee wait 60 days instead of 90 days to be able to be eligible for health benefits. Other types of benefits that really were adjusted were things like field training officer pay. It wasn't necessarily more money in this case, but it's more measurement-based. It's more data-based. An employee actually has to go and prove that they're doing field training officer pay through a measurement system rather than just saying that that person's doing it. Education reimbursements, sick leave, and annual leave mainly stayed the same, but again, it was that language discussion on clarifying what the terms are as far as how those benefits are administered. And again, all of these things were measured to be somewhere at or above market rate depending on the jurisdiction. Generally, we're trying to target below Reno Sparks because they're larger jurisdictions. They have their own set of issues, but targeting more to be commensurate with the counties in our region that are somewhat like us in whatever way. And then really last is, this is a three-year contract. It's a 2016 to 19 contract, and I believe that that would be the benefit to both the employees as well as the employer in guaranteeing these benefits to be set for a three-year period. And then last but not least,
All this material, as well as the fiscal analyses and other materials, were posted on the web in accordance with NRSs that were changed in the last legislative session. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have, and thank you.
Thank you, Austin. I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and open up for public comment because in closed session, we pretty much went through everything. I mean, the other commissioners will have an opportunity to ask you any final questions, but we'll open up for any public comment on this. Don't let me down, Nicole. No public comment? All right. Any more questions or comments from the commissioners on this?
I think the big wins here is that we've got a 3-year contract. And also the cleaning up a lot of the language that the county will benefit from.
Well, I'd like to reiterate Austin's comments in his opening statement there about the cooperation that he's had with the ASME union and how level heads went ahead and prevailed on this. And so, Toby, we want to thank you for representing.
Austin, as well. It's been a pleasure working with you. As usual.
Thank you. And I also send just to all of our employees who endured the drama and everything that occurred during this entire time in this whole process. I send a thank you to them as well, and I think we're at a point now. Yeah. It'll be good for everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Right. Okay, so before I call for a motion, that I see you had your hand up back there. So
I
come on up.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. So this was essentially a comp study and cleanup. So did any positions or people in positions get any market adjustments?
Mm-hmm.
Is it listed in the handout, in the report?
Yes, Ms. Bard, it is.
Okay.
In the handout, it shows where some of the positions based on market rate and other elements were adjusted to up or down.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thank you. Once again, any other public comment? Hearing none, call for a motion.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the tentative agreement between the Story County Employer and the Story County Employee Association, AFSCME Local 4041, Comstock Chapter, Corinne Union, I, Lance Gelman, hereby motion to approve the 2016 through 2019 collective bargaining agreement between the parties.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve the modification and extension of the CBA in the county and ASME. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of resolution 16-449, a resolution to direct the county assessor to prepare a list of all the taxpayers on the secured roll in the county pursuant to NRS 361.300 and 3 in parentheses.
Okay, I can take this one. This is
the assessor is absent, so Mr. Whitten, would you
certainly
take the helm?
Yes, and will now hopefully be fairly routine. This is a cost-saving measure put into place, I believe, by the last legislative session, the 2015 session. In which prior to that we had to go through a fairly extensive, costly process of publishing the actual tax roll in the local paper of record. The legislation that you referenced in the NRS now provides us the option of posting it on the internet, on our website, provided that this resolution is that the assessor is directed to via resolution. So pretty much procedure and very, very much a cost impact savings. Mm-hmm.
And I think that the assessor's office will go ahead and provide a printed copy to those persons who don't not have access to the internet and computers.
That is correct. They maintain one.
Right. Any public comment regarding this? Hear none. Motion for approval.
I'll move to approve Resolution 16-449, a resolution that directs the county assessor to to prepare a list of all of the taxpayers on the secured roll in the county pursuant to NRS 361.300(3).
I'll second that motion.
And moved in second to approve Resolution 16-449. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now, the next item up is going to be item number 13. In this matter, I have a pecuniary interest in this, and so at this time I'm going to go ahead and turn the gavel over to Vice Chairman Gilman, and I'm going to go ahead and recuse myself from any testimony and abstain from any voting.
Item 13, discussion with possible action. It'll be the approval of check number 86922 for $4,500 to the Bucket of Blood Saloon for the paved lot.
Mr. Chairman, this again has become somewhat procedural over the past couple of years. This is our quarterly payment to the Bucket of Blood to lease actually all of property they own, which includes the paved parking to the south of the courthouse and the predominant portions of the dirt lot that's currently under renovation. The good news here is we only have about two more quarters to go through. And then, as you know, through the district attorney's office in cooperation with the Bucket of Blood, we have an equitable trust to purchase under contract, and that should be effective on or about July 1st of 2017. So, in essence, two more quarterly payments, and you won't see this on there anymore.
Well, it's been enjoyable for me to have the gavel for a moment.
I might add, too, you know, having just recently negotiated for about 8 spots on the north, I guess I didn't really have a real sense of appreciation for what a screaming deal we're getting under this lease. When you look at how much both the Bucket is getting for their cash-paid lot and particularly what the Delta is getting for their cash-paid lot, I believe $7 at one and $10 at the other, I think, or maybe with some surge pricing going on, that it really is a very good deal. So.
Well, we would expect that from Marshall. So we'll ask for any public comment on the issue. Well, there being none, I'll ask for a motion.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve check number 86922 for the amount of $4,500 to the Bucket of Blood Saloon for the paved lot.
And I'll second that motion, and all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Moving along now to item number 14. This is discussion and possible action. Approved business license. This is second reading. Mr. Haymore.
Commissioners, Mr. Haymore, Community Development Director. I ask that the commissioners approve business license A through S as they have completed all the requirements.
A through F?
A through S.
S.
As in Sally.
As in Sally.
Okay.
Is there any public comment regarding these second readings?
I'm going to make a comment that I'm disappointed. This only looks like one page of new business licenses. I'm trying to become accustomed to a couple of them.
Wait,
next week, huh?
Well, really for the next 2 months now, because with one meeting a month, you're going to see some significant action out there.
Yeah, well, second readings that are next meeting will be considerable. It goes through double L, is that right? Yeah. All right, no public comment. Okay, commissioners, I get a motion to approve second readings for items A through S.
Second reading?
Yes.
And I get approval move. For the second reading?
So
a,
move.
A through S. Okay.
I'll second that motion to accept items A through S.
Thank you. A motion and a second to approve items A through S. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
I'd ask you to continue items T through V, and let me explain a couple. Chewy.com is in full operation now. We're waiting for a few more items to be signed off so we can complete their C of O and give them a total business license. Aqua Metals is, as I reported today, we gave them a temporary C of O that will be issued today. And they still have an equipment set up, but they will be in partial operation. SSUSA, we're finishing up the equipment there, and we'll be doing what we call startup with them here in the next couple of weeks. And that's in partial, but they have completed all of their building and fire requirements to get a total C of O. So that's why I'm asking T through V, T, U, and V to be continued at this time.
Do you recall how many, Dean, how many square feet are in Chewy's?
Chewy is 567, about 575,000 square feet.
600,000 feet.
It's just under 600,000.
Good place. Any public comment concerning these continuations? Hearing none, if I can get a motion, Commissioners, to continue items T, U, and V.
I so move.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to continue items T, U, and V on the second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15, public comment. Any public comment today? Hearing none, meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Yeah.